Well, this morning we want to continue with our series Under Construction. We've been focusing on the kingdom of God and really what we've been doing is been going through Jesus' probably most famous teaching, and that is the Sermon on the Mount that begins with the Beatitudes and then goes into the Sermon on the Mount teaching, and we're just pretty much going through this whole section of Matthew, chapter 4, 5, and 6. But this Under Construction series, where the premise is that our lives are in process, that God is doing a work in our lives, and to build us into all that He wants us to be. And so, if you've missed any of the previous messages, you can go on our church website, www.ccfellowship.org. Click on the Sermons tab, and then we have MP3s of all of our messages that are there. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer, and I want to get into what I want to share with you this morning, because this is something that I really, I think it's going to apply to everyone in the room today. Are you ready for that? All right, let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you so much for your great love, your faithfulness towards each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you are real, that you are here, that you care about us. And so, God, I just pray now that you will speak to us by your Spirit, through your word, God. I pray that you would help us to have ears that are ready to hear what you have to say. And so, God, we just give you this time. We humble ourselves before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, our focus was on the question of who is it that really has the good life? What does the good life truly look like? And then last week, we focused on the other big question that's pervaded humanity from the beginning, and that is the question of who is really a good person? Who is it that's truly a good person? And as we talked about this last week, I was sharing with you that as humans, we all have a hunger to be good. All of us in the room here desire. We want to be good. But the struggle is in always, we don't always know how. We don't always know how to do that. But our general approach, the general approach of most people is to categorize ourselves and to categorize others based on this thing of, well, I'm a good person because I do XYZ. I'm a good person because I do this and I do that. I go to church, or I don't hurt people, or I don't steal, or I don't cheat. Or I'm a good person because I don't do X, Y, and Z. I'm a good person because I don't hurt people and I don't steal and I don't do this or whatever. So this, I'm a good person because I do this, or I'm a good person because I don't do this. And this is, as I explained last week, this is the way the Pharisees, the religious teachers of Jesus' time, that was the way that they approached goodness. How you become a good person is based on the outward actions, the visible actions. The focus was on the visible, which led to a rules-based approach to God and a rules-based approach to life. But in Matthew 5, verse 20, I showed you guys last week, Jesus blows that whole concept up. Matthew 5, verse 20, Jesus says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And so in this verse, Jesus shows that there's another way. There's another way to to goodness, to be a truly good person. And this idea of categorizing ourselves based on our actions, what we do or what we don't do, is actually very flawed. The key is in the word righteousness in verse 20. And I showed you guys last week that word in the Greek means true inner goodness. True inner goodness. And it's a word that's used throughout the Bible. It's a word that's used even in the Old Testament in Hebrew, because it truly describes what a good person is like, what a good person possesses. True inner goodness. It's a word that's actually used to describe God. God has true inner goodness. And so Jesus basically in this verse is saying, unless your true inner goodness surpasses that of the Pharisees. In other words, this rules-based approach to God and life doesn't work, because rules don't make a person good. Your actions don't make you good. The Pharisees basically, their basic approach was to goodness was just don't do anything wrong. And when I mentioned that last week, you guys laughed. It was like, well, I'm doomed. I'm gone, man. I'm out. Yeah. Because it doesn't work. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. So, but in John 6, verse 29, Jesus showed the way to true inner goodness. And that way is to trust Him. Trust in Him enough to devote your life to becoming His student. Trust in Him enough that you would put yourself in the position to learn from Him, that you would believe and trust that He knows how to help us get to that place of true inner goodness. He said the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. So as we follow Jesus, as we strive to become true disciples, true students of His, we then, even as Luann was talking about being in the presence of God, when you're in the, we're in the presence of God and we're learning from Him, then we become the kind of person who naturally does what is right. We become truly good people as we do that. So our aim must be to become the kind of person who naturally does what's right. So that's what we focused on last week. So now, having established that, Jesus moves on to the next thing. And the next thing that He does after teaching that, after establishing this whole concept, He gives a warning. He gives a warning about what he considers to be the two main things that will derail you from the good life and being a truly good person. Now, I don't know about you. I want the good life, and I want to be a truly good person. So when Jesus goes, now, there's two main things I need to warn you about. My ears are up, right? I want to know what those two things are. Because he's saying there's two main things. And so today I want to cover the first one. I'll cover the second one the next time I preach. But if you go to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, we're going to look at this first thing that Jesus, He warns us that this is one of the two main things that we must be careful about, because this will completely blow up your plan for experiencing the good life and being a truly good person. Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus says, be careful. Let me hear you say, be careful.
Be careful.
Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So again, Jesus has already explained that outward actions don't produce inner goodness. Another way to think of it is apples are the byproduct of the tree, not the other way around, right? The apples don't create the tree. Are you with me?
Yes.
Everybody's like, well, what do you think about that? So, Jesus warns against the focus is on the outward actions, the visible actions, the byproduct. Jesus is always focused on the source, the inner nature. So he warns against the need to impress people, especially within the religious context. The need for religious respect or reputation or titles will immediately put you in the category of the Pharisees. And you will derail your desire to experience the good life, and you will derail your desire to be a truly good person. So Jesus gives this warning against the need to impress others. And then he gives three illustrations to try to help us better understand this warning. Now here's the part, here's where people get this messed up. These are illustrations. These are not laws. These are not laws. These are illustrations that he's trying to use under this category of works of righteousness or acts of righteousness. People often try to interpret these as laws, and they're not. So the first illustration is when you help the poor. So we go to verse 2. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So here's the first illustration to support the warning that he gives about this need to impress others, especially in the religious context, but it's true for everything about your life. And I'm going to stay on this first one a little bit longer. There's three illustrations, but I'm going to stay on this first one a little bit longer, because I hear a lot of confusion when it comes to this first, what he says in this first illustration. First of all, verse 2, notice that he says, so, when you give to the needy. He doesn't say, if you. So if, by chance, you ever decide to give to the needy, or if you ever decide to just do something nice for someone, a good deed, he's saying, when you. So Jesus is assuming that's something that you do on a regular basis. Okay? That's the first thing I want you to see. Next, I want you to notice that this is not the tithe. It's specific. The wording in the Greek is specific. It's not the tithe. Never confuse giving to the poor with the tithe. Okay, the tithe is unto the Lord. The tithe belongs to God. giving to the poor is out of your compassion and your love for people. Those are two very, very separate things. The other thing about, the other thing that's different is that the tithe is given in the church or in that particular time in the synagogue or the temple. But giving to the poor is out in public. It's out in public where people can see it and where there's the temptation to be impressive. And as crazy as the illustration that he gives, as crazy as it sounds, you know, do not announce it with trumpets. That sounds crazy, right? But that was really happening. He wasn't making that up. That was really happening. And when he mentioned it, everybody in the audience was like, oh yeah, I just saw that last week. I know so-and-so. I know the guy that did that. I know the trumpet player. That's his gig, man. You know? He gets hired to do that. That's his thing. But then Jesus gives the reason for why they did all this. He says, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the streets and in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. That was the reason why they were giving to the needy, to be honored by others. They wanted to impress people and get the approval of people. And how many of you guys would admit with me that sometimes this need to impress or get approval of others leads us to do some pretty crazy and say some pretty crazy things sometimes, right? I heard a story about a vacuum cleaner salesman, like he's out in Tennessee and he's out in a very rural part of Tennessee. And he knocks on this door, and this lady answers the door, he explains he's, you know, got a vacuum cleaner that he wants to show, and so she lets him in the house, and he gets all his stuff set up, and he just launches into his thing, you know, like, ma'am, I've got the most exciting vacuum cleaner you've ever seen, you know, and it'll clean your house from top to bottom, and it'll do this, and it does that, and it's amazing. And the lady was like, wow, that sounds pretty good. But then he keeps going. He goes, you see that big pile of dirt over there that's got all the bugs and the fur balls and everything, you know, my vacuum cleaner will pick all of that up, you know, and if not, I'll tell you what, I'll eat it. And she said, well, you might as well get your knife and fork out because we don't have no electricity here. Never been there, you know? I'm going to impress her, you know? I'm sure all of us have photo albums at home with pictures of crazy clothes that we used to wear and hairdos that we used to have because we were trying to impress somebody, right? But Jesus says in this passage, he says, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Jesus says, since they wanted the approval of people, that's what they'll get. That's their reward. They got what they wanted. Newsflash. God is not opposed, generally speaking, God is not opposed to you getting approval from people. He's not.
He's not opposed to that. If that's what you want, God's not opposed to that. And because this whole passage is all about our intentions, the intent of our hearts. If we want approval from people, that God says that's what you'll get. That's the reward that you're wanting, and that's what you're going to get. Our intent is determined by what we want and what we expect from our actions. So if you want approval from people, God will courteously step aside and allow you to get it. God does not like to be present where he's not wanted. God doesn't have any self-esteem issues. He's not, oh my gosh, he's just like, hey, have your way. Enjoy. Get all the approval you want. So then the next thing he says is, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This is one that I hear people jack this up big time with all kinds of crazy interpretations because they're thinking about it from the perspective of a law. But it's not a law, it's an illustration, just like the vacuum cleaner story. That's not a law. What he's saying is an illustration. Because really, think about it. Is this even possible? Have you ever tried to not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? I'm gonna try that right now. Right? You know? It's like if I told you, you know, okay, everybody, don't think about the shirt I'm wearing. How would I do that? It's not possible. Why would Jesus make something that's impossible a law? It's kind of funny when we think about it, but I've heard people just totally do this. But what he's saying also is not a clever way of saying that we should hide our good deeds. He's not telling you to hide the good things that you do. Also, here it's spun this way. And then it becomes a criticism of people. You know, they shouldn't be telling us about that they did this or they did that or they gave money to this situation or they helped these people because Jesus said we're supposed to not let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. That's not what he's saying either. He's not saying that you're supposed to hide your good deeds. Jesus always used illustrations. He always used illustrations to direct us to the source of our actions, not the actions themselves. So the focus of the illustration is on our intent. When we do good things for others, and our intent, of course, is determined by what we want and expect. So the question is, am I doing this to get approval of people? Am I doing this to impress someone? Or have I become the kind of person who just does this sort of thing almost automatically? That's where Jesus is trying to get us to. I think of this, you know, it's kind of like being a good driver versus when you first learn how to drive. When I first learned how to drive, I was terrified. And so everything I did when I got in the car, you know, my dad's there, and get in the car, everything was very deliberate, right? you're focused on every little thing and you're very self-conscious. Okay, put on the brake. Turn the key. Oh, I think I have to let it go sooner than that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Shift into reverse. Scan the area. Right arm on the seat. Turn the head. Let the foot, it's all deliberate, right? But after you become a good driver, if in fact you become a good driver, you do all that automatically, right? You don't think about all that. You just get in the car, and it's automatic. Because it's become natural. Because these are the things that a good driver does naturally. You don't have to think about it. And you also, when you're a good driver, you don't have to ask whoever's in the car, hey, how am I doing? Am I doing a good job? Hey, did you see that turn? Hey, did you check that out? I'm doing pretty good, right? Right? That's the difference. That's what Jesus is trying to illustrate with this. Become the kind of person who does these sorts of things automatically. That's what he means by don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So the next thing, the next illustration he gives is in verse 5. The next illustration is about prayer. The first one's about doing good deeds, giving to the needy. The second act of righteousness is prayer. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus uses, if you look at this, he uses the same exact formula that we saw in the previous verses, 2-4. Same exact formula. Again, the focus is on the outward, the visible appearance. The intent to be seen by others. He says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. He gives the reason for why, for their actions, just like he did in verses 2-4. Again, if you want to impress people by how you pray, you want to impress people by how much you pray, where you pray, then you will impress people. And that will be your reward. You will get, if you want approval, like, hey, I'm a good prayer, great. Jesus kindly steps aside and you get the approval. You impress whoever you're wanting to impress. That's your reward. And again, this is not a law. So when he says, when you pray, go in your room, close the door, blah, 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 it's not a law. Why are they praying in public? You're not supposed to pray in public. Because Jesus said, when you pray, you're supposed to go in your closet. Well, that's not what he's saying. It's not a law. It's an illustration. Because Jesus always used illustrations to direct us to the source of our actions. So it has to do with our intent when we pray. Are you praying in front of people to get attention? Are you praying to impress people? Pretty good prayer, aren't I? That was pretty good prayer, right? Did you feel that? felt the whole building shake, you know. I got the direct line, bro. I'm telling you. Whenever you need it, I'm here. I'm right.
Is that what's up? Or have we become the kind of people that we pray? We pray for people. We pray, and it's just automatic. The next one he gives, the next illustration, the third illustration, is fasting. Verse 16. So when you fast, notice he says when and not if. When you pray, not if you pray. When you give to the needy, not if you give to the needy. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, the same exact formula that we saw in the other two. He gives the intent, the focus is on the visible, what's the outward, what people can see. The intention, again, is to show others they are fasting. And so again, if you want to impress people by the fact that you fast, how long you fast, how intensely you fast, Jesus will kindly step aside and allow you to get all the adulation you're desiring from people. Like, oh my gosh, you're amazing, man. 40 days. Oh gosh, you must be like Jesus yourself. And only water? I could, oh man, you must be super Christian. So are we doing it to impress people, or have we become the kind of person who does this almost automatically? This need to impress people is massive. And can we be honest? It's in all of us. It's in all of us. The need to impress, the need for approval. For people to go, yeah, you know, you're a good person. You're good. But that need for approval is like a virus. It gets in us and then it just spreads. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger till it destroys us. But the antidote is in Colossians 3. I'm going to close with this. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Because it is the Lord Christ you are serving. The formula that Jesus used in all three of those illustrations is that God will reward you when you do these three things unto Him. When you do these three things with the audience of one, if He's the audience, if He's the one that you seek to impress, if He's the one that you seek approval from, if your audience is always Him, He says He will reward you. And in fact, we all know and see people who do this, and we see how God rewards them. We see how God blesses them. They give to the needy unto the Lord, and God just keeps giving them money. And they keep giving. And God keeps giving them money. And they keep giving. It's automatic. And we see people and we know people who pray and God seems to answer their prayers. And they pray and God seems to answer their prayers. And they pray and God seems to, it's the reward. The audience of one. It's the antidote to the virus. As a student of Jesus, you'll learn to become the kind of person that thinks, that says, that does everything unto the audience of one. That's the antidote. You guys bow your heads with me. This is a time in our service where we respond to what God has spoken to us through what His Word has revealed to us. I want to ask you, with every head bowed right now, just between you and the Lord, do you struggle in this area of needing the approval of people? You struggle with needing approval, needing, feeling the pressure to have to impress. Do you find yourself saying and doing things to try to impress people? Or perhaps maybe your struggle is the opposite. What I talked about a little bit. Do you find yourself criticizing people, judging people? That perhaps are doing things for God that are visible, that can be seen. Are you stuck in that Pharisee approach of trying to make Jesus' illustrations into laws? I just want to give you a moment. If you struggle in these areas of approval or judging people, could you just lift your hand right now? Because I just want to allow you to have some time between you and the Lord, but I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. Father God, you've seen every hand that has been raised, and Lord, I know that this is an area that affects all of us. It's permeated our culture. The self-esteem culture, the insatiable desire to impress, to prove that we're good, that we're worth something, that the incredible desire to be liked, all of that, Lord. Father, I just pray that you will, by your grace, seal your word in our hearts that we've heard today. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help us to focus our hearts. Help us to focus our minds, our thoughts, our intentions upon you. Help us to trust, God, that you and you alone are more than enough for us. That if we have you, we have everything. And so, God, I just pray you bless your people. I pray, Father, for healing in this area and those that need healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise?